We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is producer and co-founder Brian Goins. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see him on the bottom of the screen directly below.
Ryan Winter says there's some big news coming to the NBA that he can't announce yet in the next coming weeks. I'm very curious to know what he's talking about.
The coming weeks?
I have no clue.
We don't have time, Brian. We have time, Wendy. On the bottom left, we have Alex Musibai.
There you go. There you go. Every pod, you're getting better.
I'm getting warmer. I'm getting warmer. What's up, man? How's he doing?
I like it, man. What's going on, guys? Windhorse really covering his bases there, giving himself a full, like, 2-3 weeks just so he could say, like, I had it first.
Listen, I had this guy. Listen, got to cover your bases. And on the left-hand side with the camera off, our friend of the show, host of Locked On Heat, is our grumpy correspondent, David Ramil.
Grumpy? Is that the reputation? I mean, last time I was on here, I don't think I was particularly grumpy. I remember years ago when Alf called me a robot and a dick in the same episode, but nothing about particular grumpiness.
I feel like he's called you worse things on your DMs.
I feel like he's called you worse things. You're being kind to poor Alf here. Nah, David. I mean, David's a good guy. You got to check out his podcast, Locked On Heat. It's great. We miss Wes, but it's okay.
David's Wes has holding been down on the fort. So actually, many times. What do you mean? He's basically a member of Locked On Heat.
Love Wes. I know, it's good. David did a recent interview with Katie from Basketball News, and it came out really good about kind of, you know, the environment behind media coverage and of domestic assault, and it was really good. So check that out. I highly recommend it, and everything that David does throughout the season. Have this meeting of the minds today. Something.
Ryan Windhorse actually didn't say 2 weeks. He said in the soon future. short-term future. What does that mean?
Even more.
Oh my God, that could be anything.
We know right now.
I actually could for a couple
this is
weeks.
What you said on his Hoop Collective podcast. We know right now about significant NBA news that is going to probably happen in the short-term future that is going to alter things. But we can't talk about it for various reasons.
I mean, what does that
mean?
Great. You know, what, alter
why can't
what?
He talk about it?
Windy, alter
what's
what?
Going on? Why is
alter
it, why,
what?
Why?
Yeah, no, Brian's question's a good one. Like, why can't you talk about it?
Why can't
if you're
say
breaking
on podcast,
news, like,
but you can't
whoa,
say
you,
on ESPN.
You start hinting at these things as soon as you can. Right.
Yeah.
Tea leaves. Come on, Brian. What's going on? Why? What? What? Alter what?
Lay predicted in our DMs. I don't know if I should say this, but he thinks it's that Giannis is not signing his Supermax. But is that really league altering?
Yeah.
And at this point, doesn't it kind of look that way? Like it shouldn't. Yeah.
I feel like league altering would be like every NBA player is going to get their vaccine in like the coming
week. I didn't
predict
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be some vaccine related news.
The NBA hired Dr. Fauci.
big get. The reason why we kind of called this Meeting of the Minds was because, you know, there's a lot of James Harden talk today. There's a lot of James Harden said the Heat are on his list. There's always a list, right? Now we're in we have reached a state in the last 3 years of the NBA that there's always a list, and who's on the list, right? But Jimmy Butler, it was okay. The Heat are on the Jimmy Butler list. Oh, but so are the Sixers, right? There's always a list, and the Heat are usually always on this list. It's the Leds list. The Heat are perpetually always on this list. And of course, why wouldn't they be? It's an incredible city with no state tax. It's warm. Listen, it was 60 degrees today. It was wonderful. Anybody who lives here, it was great outside. It was amazing. I walked,
it was the perfect day.
It's incredible. There was sun and it's 60 degrees. It's like you get everything you want. It's incredible. Light breeze, especially by the water. We live in the best place on earth. So, you know, why would a player not want to come here? Why would a young man who has lots of money not want to live here and live amongst, and in James Harden's case, you know, some world-class strip clubs here in Miami that I'm sure that he would he would really funnel a lot into the strip club economy
that he's helped bank.
Listen, he's out here to create an economy for Tootsies, and is Solid Gold still exists? I don't even know. I don't frequent strip club. Booby Trap, does that still exist? That's off the Palmetto, right? No, Dave.
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean,
you're putting me on the spot here.
I've heard of these places.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they actually still exist.
And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it last episode that we did with Nikias and Frankie, kind of talking about, like, the fit of James Harden and everything. And the thing I thought about, David, kind of going into today and a lot last night, it's like, what becomes too much if you're Miami to trade for James Harden? Now, probably, you know, if you're looking and if you're thinking, oh, well, there's not too much. He's a former MVP. He's a walking 35 points. He's a top three MVP finisher every year in the league. Like, nothing's too much. That guy is a cornerstone. He's a league altering player. He's in the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to go in the echelons of the greatest players ever. He's broken so many records and let his playoff blemishes be damned. I mean, if you have him, you're a contender, right? Like, but, you know, you have to have the conversation to yourself. Well, I mean, do you gut the team for him? Right, David? So, you know, he in 2021, right? So, you know, between him, Bam, and Jimmy Butler, you know, they essentially take up the entire cap. If the cap's set at like 109, I think that comes out to like 108. And so you're pretty much entire team and three players is taking up your entire cap. So it's like, how much can you really?
Did you have this conversation in 2010?
No, but I don't even think that his contracts have been so inflated now. And because so what's happened is that like the cap, right? The cap has escalated like less than contracts have. So what happens is that you sign a deal that you think you're going to have cap space, and because the contracts have these kickers, or you're increasing 5 or 7% every year, that's really outpaced the rate of growth for the league. So what you happen is back in 2010, you can sign those three guys, and even if they take a little discount, you could still have access to things. And I know that they were still right up at the cap, but there was a lot more wiggle room that they can sign a Mike Miller and a Udonis Haslam, and they can still fill out the team, and they still had guys under contract. In a Harden trade, you theoretically have to give up Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson.
I don't think that's true.
And probably one of... theoretically, and picks, right? So it's like,
it's gonna take all of that.
Yeah. At what point do you say
that wouldn't do that trade if it requires all that? Let's be honest.
So Brian's out on that.
Okay, but let's have the discussion like
competing against
because I personally think there's no way
the teams are really like we already know who's on his list. Philly's really the only team that I think that could really challenge Miami if they include Ben Simmons in that trade offer. And for what I've seen, doesn't look like Morey wants to even make a deal for any of Embiid or Simmons at this point. I don't know why. I think...
What were you saying, Alex?
My thing is, I don't want to give away my entire, you know, stance on this, but if you have to trade the house for Harden, Harden's not a guy that I feel You're comfortable crazy. Trading the house for. That's my You're stance. Crazy. I can't give up everything I have for a 3-year window on a guy that I don't trust. We've seen him in the playoffs.
He's been pretty good for the most part. I know he's a hard worker. Bad games, but he's been to many more conference finals than Giannis has had, and he's the person that everybody is pretty much hammering, you know, the table for.
He was some couple Trevor Ariza threes away from making the finals.
Yeah, a couple Trevor Ariza threes away from making it to the NBA Finals.
And he was a couple strip club nights away from winning a championship with OKC. I just don't trust this guy. I don't. And I'm not giving up Drip.
You're not giving up Tyler Hero?
Like, I mean...
Oh, my God.
Tyler
right,
Hero
be a long
is...
Pod, guys.
It's, I long can't pod. Do it, man. I've been trying to get this guy in Miami since he was in
That's
high school.
Just
I can't do this.
Like, I think fans oftentimes overvalue their guys.
Those Tyler Hero stands.
I will trade Tyler
go.
Hero for the right
you
guy,
trade,
but not Harden.
You trade White Lou Williams for James Harden. And it's like, for me, it's not even a question. Like, David, you... I think it starts getting complicated if you start including every young player you have, including Duncan, because, you know, you're going to want the shooting. But like, I think I know that Leif of Five on the Floor today, Five Reasons, reported that the Heat have said that they're not going to include Tyler Hero in any trade so far. And I think when rubber hits the road, David, if that's what it comes down to, they'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any discussion about it. Like, I mean, I'm probably higher on Tyler Hero than most Heat media and fandom. And at the same time, I think they'll make that move 100% of the time. Like, think back to 2004, people would have been complaining about trading Lamar Odom for Shaquille O'Neal. And that worked
people
out pretty well, even though the window was much shorter.
Coachy?
Yeah, I mean,
Shaq was also a multiple champion at that point. Let's not forget.
Not in 2004. Yeah. Okay. He'd been a multiple champion. I get it. But he was playing alongside Kobe Bryant. I mean, James has played alongside some great players, but I don't think they had the same kind of team, nor was the parity such in that point in time the way it is now. I think it's much more difficult to win a championship under these circumstances than it was during Shaq's era from 2000-2004. Either way. Harden is a game-changing player. I just don't see what the discussion is. You get him on here and you let
Thank
everything
you,
else
David.
Kind of figure itself
Thank
out.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that we are overthinking this. We are getting too cute on NBA Twitter and on Heat Twitter. Like, you fucking get that guy with Jimmy and Bam. You're automatically the favorite in the Eastern Conference. I don't give a fuck. You have the three. You have the best trio in the league.
You're better than you're the better, Lakers.
I think you're better than the Lakers. I think if they get James Harden, they are either the favorites or right there at second place. Like, this is no question about
for sure
it. Like, you get a guy that's better than the two guys you have right now. Like, it's crazy that you know what I mean. Like, they have a guy in Jimmy Butler that just fucking played the best basketball that any of us have, like, maybe ever seen in a Heat uniform as he went up against the King. He fucking went basket for basket, did everything on the court imaginable, had one of the most incredible finals games ever, and they could bring a guy that's better than that.
So are you guys
saved Jimmy's career too? Like, I mean, you're helping prolong it even more. He doesn't have to go through the same wear and tear that he did last season, because now you have the best free throw rate in the league playing alongside him. So, I mean, you negate all the Lakers' size, you negate any wing defense that you could potentially come up with, because you're going to put them on the line. This is the most powerful team. I think this might even be a better version of three, to be honest with you. Maybe that's overstating things a little
are
bit.
Are you
much,
guys but... then punting on Giannis and going all in on Harden? Because I mean, that's
what would you
define
as all in?
Yes.
My all in would be just trading Tyler. My whole preposition on making this deal is I really think they need to keep one of either Hero or Robinson just for the shooting alone. And I think the
Agreed.
Person that would most likely
well,
stay
I'll
is going to be Duncan. One, because he's up for an extension next year, his age. He's not as young to build a team around like what Houston's going to end up having to do with their rebuild. And then two, I just think. As in terms of, like, we're talking fit right now, I think Duncan makes the most sense than Tyler would be if we brought Harden onto the team.
So Duncan, I imagine, you know, so Duncan's going to enter restricted free agency in 2021.
Yeah.
And I imagine any kind of deal that he gets start with that Joe Harris number. And whether he wants to be team friendly or not, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to reject the qualifying offer. It would make sense. And he's just going to go to restricted free agency
because somebody's only like a few million. It's only.
Yeah, it's like it's ridiculous.
It's only 100. Well, I mean, the Heat are going to give him a qualifying offer just so he can keep his cap hold on the books. You have to. He doesn't really have to accept anything. He just offer it. And once he offer it, that's how you can keep him so he can offer his bird rights and go over to cap. I know, Gio, what you're trying to go with, the whole, like, the Heat having to pay the luxury tax. Look, Mickey Rierson's been on record this year saying that he would pay for a contender if it meant bringing in a piece a la James Harden that would guarantee, you know, NBA Finals appearances.
But what it's not even the luxury tax so much that I'm talking about. So if you're about with those three guys, you're at 108 of your 109 salary cap, theoretically, right? You sign a guy like Duncan, let's say he takes a $50 million deal. Mm-hmm. Then the luxury tax is at like 136. Now you have about maybe a little bit over $15 to $20 million to fill out your roster. And if you use over $5 million of your mid-level exception, you then get hard capped at about $6 million over the tax apron, right? So now you're really playing with it. Now you have four guys and you only have like less than $20 million ish to fill out the rest of your team, including you're going to get luxury tax and now you're hard cap. So you really don't have a lot of will. So I'm just thinking of, and then remember these contracts escalate. So Harden is 44, but that goes up to 47 the next year. Bam's goes up, Jimmy's goes up, and we don't even know what kind of accolades, you know, if Bam gets all NBA first team, you know, then all of a sudden you're really tight on money. And I guess I'm just projecting ahead as to like, okay, maybe next, I mean, and in that event, they can maybe trade Duncan Robinson and I'm sure they can get, you know
so I have, maybe they can trade. I actually have some information on the hard cap. So
okay,
if Miami makes a trade for James Harden, they would be considered, I'm assuming they would be a taxpayer team just because I feel like they would keep the bird rights to, at that point, they would probably keep the bird rights to Dragic. They wouldn't let him go. And it probably would accept some of the team options on the team. So that if there are taxpayer team, they actually would have a taxpayer mid-level exception that they could use that would not impose a hard cap. The one that you're talking about that imposes a hard cap is a non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which they would have if they have cap space, which... It doesn't seem like that's what's going to be happening. Even if they go after Giannis, it seems like what they're going to do is accept the team options and use those contracts to make a sign and trade. If that's the deal, if they don't want to make the deal for Harden, they want to wait for free agency and make their pitch to Giannis, that would be their route. The only other way they could get hard capped would be either a sign and trade, so that Giannis move would be a hard cap move, or if they use their biannual exception, which they could technically use now and they wouldn't be hard capped next year.
So, like, David, you're saying, like, who cares? I'm with you. You do what you have to. I'm just saying that. And I guess I brought up that Duncan thing because I think that if somebody said, well, the core of the trade has to be Hero and Duncan or else we're not dealing. I think that if you look and say, well, this is a situation with Duncan and this is his contract situation, this is the likelihood that you might be able to keep him beyond 1 year after signing him. That's where I say, well, maybe Duncan's not the deal breaker that I thought it would be. And I guess I kind of said that, I brought that up to set it up that way, that where I used to be like, you got to figure out a way to make this trade happen without Duncan. Now, I still think that, but now I'm less attached to the idea of keeping Duncan because I'm just scared that they wouldn't keep him for the duration of that contract.
He's going to be worth the contract that we're going to end up giving him.
Oh, I think so too.
And I don't think we have to worry about the hard cap because I mean, you gotta trust Annie Ellisberg. I mean, he knows the number is right now. If they're having discussions, like Lace reporting that apparently they've had discussions with Houston to the point where they haven't, you know, brought up Tyler Hero onto the trade block yet. I still think like they don't have to be hard cap next year. They can still be over luxury tax without being hard capped if they're not using a non-taxpayer mid-level. So basically, the only other way they would be hard capped is whether or not they decide to use their biannual next year, which if that's the case, they can use it right now. Keep that player. They can sign a multi-year deal to any player that's on the market right now or whoever gets bought out later on in the season. That would be a player that's on the roster. They could still go over luxury tax and keep. And then if they make a sign and trade, which doesn't seem like it's
I'm in shock here, honestly. Like we're talking about Duncan fucking Robinson. I mean,
I'm talking about Tyler Hero.
I'm with you, David.
Well, who cares about Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson?
David, you and I are together. Like, we're joint. David, we're attached by the hip. You and I'm glad that we have the same take. I saw you in a group chat, like, not about the idea, and I'm happy about this change of heart.
I hate the conversation about trades because I made this point up in my show. Like, it seems like a dehumanizes players. Yeah, that
dehumanizes.
One.
And
at the same time,
David writes for Forbes, by the way.
He writes. He doesn't speak.
I just can't speak. yeah, exactly. So, in any case,
the opposite of cheese problem.
So, I get that. Hate talking about them like that, like as assets, quote unquote assets, because again, there's that factor. But to build a team, and you want to build a team that wins, you do it with James Harden. You don't do it with Duncan Robinson. You don't do it with Tyler Hero. None of those players, unfortunately, matter in that sense. You can add other players. You can figure it out. Like, I looked at, who was available. Dwayne Dedmon, you can bring on. Taj Gibson as the veteran presence to make up.
Let's
Andre
go,
Iguodala.
David!
Emmanuel Mudiay can fit into the schedule. You can kind of put him on the roster and develop him. And look, we're talking about Duncan Robinson, who last year we were having this conversation. We're like, is he even going to make the roster? Is he even going to contribute? We weren't sure. I remember doing a season preview with you guys last year. We didn't know what the hell to expect from Duncan Robinson. Sure, he had a historically great year, but none of that matters. Like, you bring up the kid they just signed. I don't even remember what the hell his name is. The guy who was like in the G League last year for Detroit or something.
Strauss.
I don't know.
Max Strauss.
Yeah, the German
Strauss.
Name. Yeah. Okay, yeah, whatever Strauss. His name is.
Strauss.
Yeah. You bring him in. You Gabe Strauss. Vincent. Like, anybody, you can develop him. Like, we had Wayne Ellington play all-star level basketball or pretty close
so
to it.
So fucking true. Wayne Ellington had the best season, the best shooting season in Heat history.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. And Duncan Robinson did it during a pandemic.
Oh God.
And beat it by a lot.
Okay, but you're also naming, at this point, you're also naming like NBA journeymen versus a kid that we just drafted in his first NBA season, the numbers that he's putting up. I don't trade
he's
away
not
our
gonna
future
be an MVP.
Like that.
For he's just not going to be an MVP.
MVP
he's
talking.
Just not.
He may not be, but did we know what Dwayne yes. Wade was going to be like his second year? Like, you
I,
don't know
I think
what these
we know
guys
that Harden
yet.
Is an MVP. And if we're talking about the upside, like, let's, like, it's, we know how good Harden is. Harden's a top five, top six player in the league. Like, Harden's a guy that has proven to you that you can build an all-time great team
around.
This
is all kind of moves,
he's
right?
Done
like
it.
Like Pat, if you ask Pat right now, yeah, he'll pull the trigger in a heartbeat.
He's
yeah,
doing
absolutely.
It.
He doesn't
yeah.
care.
The Tyler oh, yeah. thing is just like, I think I understand the attachment that people have to him. I understand that he's your guy, that he's your homegrown guy. I mean, talk about...
We don't have any more draft picks. This is our...
Oh,
this
for
is,
sure. After
like,
the Harden
realistically,
trade,
realistically, this is... Exactly. So, like, when I say you're trading your future, we're legitimately trading our future. Like, we're not going to get another crack.
They
at
found
that,
they found Hassan Whiteside
pick.
In the
you
garbage.
Just had you had an argument about Duncan
Again,
and Robinson. You didn't
am
draft
arguing
him
for Tyler. Duncan.
They found Duncan.
Get out of
they
here.
Found Duncan and Hassan in the garbage. Like, they yeah, nobody right. wanted those guys. They just found them.
The draft is less valuable more than ever, I think, because you can start to see players that are going to drift into the second round,
you
and then
you
sign them as undrafted yeah, free yeah. agents. Yeah, and you can do all sorts of things. You develop players, and I think the Heat would take a chance on their culture, their proven track record for the development, to just take any player and say, "We'll figure it out. We'll build around the three guys that we have that are going to club people upside the head, and then you kind of figure out."
Oh, he's going to go clubbing for sure.
Yeah, well, for sure. But you're going to go figure out roster spots 4 through 17 later on after you get that big three. I mean, I think they're again a title
like,
contender.
I think when we talk about the Heat and we talk about how much we trust the organization and stuff, I mean, it's like we trust them to find other guys that they can contribute through their G League, kind of system throughout all these things. Like I mentioned Duncan, I mentioned Hassan, I mentioned Tyler Johnson,
Ronnie
McGruder. Right? Like Josh Richardson was a second round draft pick that, like they have a knack for finding guys. Udonis Haslem undrafted. Like this is just a historical kind of process for them of finding guys that fall through the cracks, to get guys to contribute, whether it's rehabilitation processes, which, I mean, Dion Waiters, I mean, we can make fun of him all he want. During 30-11, the dude was wrecking teams, hit the game winner over Golden State with the arm crossed. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, they had James Johnson running point center and, like, confusing teams. This is James fucking Johnson. Who is that? They did that, they've done that consistently. And as David mentioned with Wayne Ellington, like, I don't doubt that they could just find some dudes, get him to contribute. Eric, if you believe Eric Spoelstra's the top two coach in the league, you believe that he's going to get the most out of guys, and you kind of figure out the rest. But, like, once you have the star power, like, and also that kind of makes you a little more injury proof, because one of those guys, you know what I mean, like, if Bam goes down or if Jimmy goes down, well, now you still have Harden, Bam, and Goran, and whatever else you have on your team. You know what I mean? Like, you have some insurance as to what happened to you in the finals last year, where Dragic and Bam goes down and you just have no recourse. You're just done. You're dead in the water. You know, you're fighting this uphill battle against Goliath. And I trust the organization to figure it out. And I think that a lot of the conversations, it's either going to be, I don't want to get rid of Hero, I don't want to get rid of Duncan, this is too much, we just got Precious. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously there's going to come a point where a deal's just too much, right? You just can't give up everything you have, which it'll get close to, because you need to match up to, what is it, $38 million, Brian?
I mean, $38 million, I mean, I've already kind of played around the trade machine. It's going to require Andre Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk, those are your two salary fillers. Most likely Kendrick Nunn would be in that deal, I assume. And then if you're including Tyler Hero, that's enough to make the deal.
Plus now, 25 and 27.
Now, if you want to
swaps and 22, 24,
I've
and 26.
I've seen trade proposals where people have been including like PJ Tucker in the deal.
Now, that gets harder
including him,
to
it's going
to
require more contracts. I mean, technically, they could trade Myers Leonard if they need to. He just need to get his approval.
They have to wait 3 months, though. So. You got to wait.
You gotta wait the three months.
So, and I'm sure that they have some sort of handshake deal with Myers that, you know.
I don't think he would be in the view anyway, but if they needed to, that's something they could do down the road. When do you guys think James Harden would get traded? That's actually a good discussion, because I haven't heard anything in terms of when he might get dealt. The season's about to start. Brian Windhorst is teasing like there's some groundbreaking news going on in the NBA. There's also on Bet Online, by the way. Shout out to Bet Online, our sponsor. They have them. They just posted like their latest betting odds, and they have Miami as number one right now.
I just recorded a show with the host of Locked On Rockets, and his feeling is that the team is not going to trade him anytime soon. Like, not that when the regular season starts, Harden will be on the Rockets roster. So it's going to take some time for them to figure it out. I think what his perspective was, and some other Houston folks I talked to, they said they are going to kind of drive up the price as much as possible and kind of wait. If, you know, the Sixers start off hot and they want to make a change, or if they start off badly and they want to make a change, things will work out. If Doc doesn't, you know, work out there the way they thought right away, or doesn't mesh with Ben Simmons, they'll facilitate the trade much more quickly. So they're going to kind of wait, you know, and this is Raphael Stone's second major deal, I guess, if you count the Westbrook for Wall deal. But they also want to kind of keep Harden there and hope that they can kind of, work on his good graces a little bit and show that they're a contending team, or that they're still a solid team with some quality depth there, and that maybe they can kind of impress on him that this is still a team worth being a part
that
of.
Ship
and
has sailed.
Maybe that's a little too optimistic, but at least
he knows. I mean, that's basically why he's putting out this trade proposal before the season started. Like, he knows he's done the most he can on that Houston team. They've maximized as much as they could do, and there's not much else they could bring on that team to help
him
win.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, and with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore, Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short-term list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try it with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you might not be at the game this year, but you will be on in the action with Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure that you get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you the most options to wager than anyone else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head over to BetOnline today and take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. They're cooked. They've emptied their assets. They recovered a pick by trading Covington, but I mean, it's tough. You know, they have Wood, they have Harden, and they have Wall, who God knows what he's going to look like.
And they got. I do want to talk DeMarcus a
little
Cousins.
Bit about so we've talked about Philly, right? And if Philly wants to include Joel or Ben, you know, that really changes the math. I know Golden State, there were reports of Golden State kind of getting in that and then backed off, which Zach Lowe said, you know, the asking price to Houston was astronomical. God knows what they were asking. But I mean, if you look at a Golden State offer, you know, they can give you James Wiseman, Wiggins, and that'll match the salary pretty easily. And then you have Minnesota's pick next year. Now, next year's draft is supposed to be like this super duper draft, and Minnesota's obviously going to be bad. And they're going to have probably a top five pick. And I think the protections are top three.
I'll start mocking that draft next week, by the way. Let's make sure go. You guys look out for that.
But I mean, that right, Alex? I mean, you know a lot about the draft. I mean, that's a good draft class.
No, I'm listening to your trade offer right now, and I think that's pretty
offer,
damn good.
You get Wiggins,
I'm a big Wiseman fan,
a young player who, whatever. I mean, you just need the salary. It doesn't matter. You're Wiggins and Wall. You have the Wiseman. You have Minnesota's pick next year. So now you have probably one of the more valuable trade assets in the league. And then, you know, you have already Christian Wood. You have some young players that you spent money on and whatever. And then if it comes down to it, if Eric Paschal is the fucking deal breaker, then the Warriors could throw Eric Paschal, right? So, you know, you offer kind of, you know, three right. young players plus incredibly valuable draft asset. And that's as good of an offer as I think anybody. I think Boston can absolutely get in the door. And we know Danny Ainge will never trade to make his team better. But theoretically, Jaylen Brown plus Marcus Smart and stuff, I think, starts getting you into a conversation. Obviously, Philadelphia. I don't really know that Milwaukee has any kind of trade juice. Heck, I can outdo Miami. I think that Brooklyn offers dog shit.
I think so.
I know that people really, you know, Harden really wants to be in Brooklyn, but I just don't see a deal there. Like that poo-poo platter, that Caris LeVert poo-poo platter. Maybe Houston really likes Caris LeVert. I don't know. I'm not into that offer. So like you kind of look around
if
the league.
If they did, they would have made
that
move by now.
I think Toronto can theoretically make a deal, but I just think that they're so locked in on Giannis, especially that he hasn't signed yet. And I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, that was really funny that the day all that Giannis news came out yesterday about I'm worried about working about myself and everything. The Raptors released that documentary clip where Masai Ujiri was, you know, in the war room the day of Giannis's draft day, and he was really trying to angle to get Giannis that draft. I think the Raptors had a pick that year, and so he kind of released that footage of like, that's the guy we've always wanted. So I mean, they're locked in. I don't really see a lot of teams that might really be able to pull the trigger on that, like, and I think that really it's going to come down to Miami, Philadelphia. I think the Warriors can really get in on that. I don't really see the Mavericks having enough juice to really do something there. I mean, that would also be incredible.
They don't want to trade him out west, right? So that kind of eliminates the Warriors.
If we just go strictly this list, it's what, Philly, the Milwaukee Nets, and Miami.
I don't believe that. No, that's bullshit. Like, I want to say something right now. I don't know if Harden's camp is leaking that because they just want leverage because that's a good team and they like know that Milwaukee's desperate, or if it's Milwaukee leaking that to make them think that they're trying. I mean, yeah. Don't remember that Harden said about Giannis that it doesn't take skill to be 7 feet tall and dunk. He's like, I think Harden said, and I quote, I got to actually play the game of basketball. So forget that. That wasn't that long ago. That was just last season.
Yeah.
So I don't think those dudes like each other. And like, do you think James Harden put Milwaukee, Wisconsin on his list? It's not even the best city in Wisconsin. Shout out to Madison.
And let's talk about the irony that, first of all, these two MVPs don't like each other. And really, the question for Miami is, which MVP do you want to go after?
What a great problem.
Because that's really what it is. I mean, what a great problem. Yeah, but that's really what it comes down to. And that's part of my hesitation for Harden, because I am more of an Antetokounmpo fan. And I do think that we have such a great chance at landing him in free agency. Granted, it's a roll of the dice. It's a risk that comes with free agency. But we've come this far. I want to follow through with the plan, and I want to see what could happen.
And David, I kind of want to get you in on this too. Like, with the BAM extension, that makes the Giannis signing really difficult. And if Milwaukee doesn't want to play ball with you with a sign and trade, you know, that gets complicated if Toronto and Dallas keep their cap open and all of a sudden, you know, they don't want to work with you and they say, fuck you, we're not helping you, you know, figure it out, you know what I mean? And they don't want to trade them within the conference and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think obviously a star can force his way wherever he wants. It just becomes a lot more complicated because of the BAM extension. So, like, if you're going to punt, might as well be now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think they kind of have to pivot a little bit. Even if he doesn't sign the extension, they're like, I actually floated this. I wonder if you think that there's any chance of this. What if you make the trade for Harden this year? You know, Giannis resigns or whatever, or he does a sign and trade next year, and then you trade Harden to Milwaukee in exchange
That's
for
so fucking
Adekunpo.
Galaxy
Is that a possibility?
Braid. Let's That's go! That's so galaxy braid. That's so galaxy braid. Alex just...
And we keep Tyler Hero? Oh my God, this is great.
Let's do this. Two galaxy braid. I can't. There's no way. It's just like this is no way they trade Jimmy. Not because like Jimmy's not worth Harden, but just like they're just never gonna trade. I mean, Jimmy's gonna retire. He's a lifer. And BAM off the table. Like Goran, I don't even think they would even. I mean, I think if fucking Houston was so in love with Goran Dragic and that was a deal breaker, I'm sure they'd do it. But I'm sure that it's not really like much of a discussion about including Goran and his nice chunky contract. It's funny because nobody's linked that contract, right? It's always been Olynyk, and it's
got
been
the same
it's
thing.
Been the
he
other
just
one.
Resigned, so he can't even cheer him for 3 months, same as Myers.
Yeah. So I think that's really funny. I'm in on the Harden stuff. I think that if they can get that done midseason, they become a contender. They're already a contender, but they become a like legit favorite, right? They change from, you know, we're having the question, you know, can they get back to the Eastern Conference Finals? I think that's their goal. I think that's a legitimate, like, reasonable goal. With Harden, it becomes, well, let's make the finals. And it's not even like, not, anything less than that is a disappointment, right? Like, he changes the math on your season.
To Alex's question, though, do you have a preference over Adetokounmpo or Harden? Or, like, as far as fit on this team? Not just preference, because that's more subjective, but, like, do you think which one of those would be a better fit on this currently constructed team?
Know what I'm leaning
he's thinking
towards
hard.
Now.
He's thinking hard.
I'm thinking hard.
I mean,
I
talked a little bit with Nikias yesterday, and like, I think that people, when they think of Harden coming to Miami, they think it's going to be this giant, different type of offense. It's largely going to be the same, right? Because Harden is Harden, and there is obviously going to be a lot more motion off ball, but it's still going to be similar stuff. It's going to be Harden kind of either bringing the ball up, or they're going to get Harden out of a pistol set to kind of initiate the offense, or probably going to mix in some more handoffs with him and Bam. He's going to curl off. He's going to get that handoff. Bam's going to roll, and he's going to either be able to isolate if they switch, or he's going to have a lob threat and Bam going to the rim. Like, they're going to operate pretty similarly to what he's always done. He's going to have a rim rolling target. He's going to be surrounded by shooters. I think the biggest difference is like, while PJ Tucker is always stationed in that corner, guy like Duncan is always relocating, right? And depending on who you trade, you know, it's going to really kind of affect the offense. But I think the Harden fit is really, really good. We went over this last podcast. Jimmy Butler as a screener is absolutely absurdly efficient. I mean, he's just getting to the teeth of the defense once he screens, especially if it's low. I mean, he can technically, theoretically screen for Harden coming off those pistol sets from the side. And if Jimmy's kind of darting to the rim as Harden's coming off that to get the ball, now, you know, it's a lot of issues for your defense because you have a guy who's not afraid of contact going to the rim, who's really good finisher, who's really strong, who's forcing mismatches, and also a really good passer if you double him down there off Harden penetration. So it's interesting, and I think the Harden fit is so seamless. And I think Jimmy, a lot like Dwayne Wade, even though he's not a shooter, can work off the ball so efficiently that it almost doesn't matter. Like, I'm just in on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good fit. So, I mean, in that sense, then to your previous question, like maybe Adetokounmpo is still an option, but maybe you're not even pivoting so much as you're going over a preferred target. And yes, Adetokounmpo in terms of age might be better, you know, to pair alongside Bam for the foreseeable future. But I mean, in terms of your immediate short window, and we think of Miami and Miami's front office almost always looking at the short term rather than the long term. And that's why they trade away all their draft picks as frequently, because it's all about the now. In that sense, maybe Harden is the preferred target. And that makes a lot more sense, because then you can compete for titles, not just this year, but next year and beyond that.
They're going to be, I mean, at least for the, I think where, the thing that gets me queasy, the only thing in the Harden thing that gets me queasy, is when you start talking about his extension past his contract, right? And if you're going to have to max a guy his age, you know, what are you going to do? And at that point, I think the second that, because Harden, you know, for all the guys that have signed to Supermax, his deal's worth it. I mean, you can say all we want about Westbrook and Wall and Chris Paul and all these dudes, but his contract is very likely going to be worth every penny up until it ends. The question then becomes, what about after? The next contract, it's not going to be that way, because you're going to get some years on the back end of that where you're really not worth that juice. And at that point, you're in cap hell. And Jimmy's contract is going to be kind of go. It's a back end of Jimmy's career. And then you're going to have Bam's. Bam's going to be in his prime. But, you know, you're going to have all these bloated contracts with really probably one perennial all-star, you know, if we're really kind of looking at that. And maybe James has a very graceful decline. He's not built on athleticism. It's very old man game. James has had old man game his whole career. Maybe it ages really wonderfully and he becomes this great shooter. I mean, he is a great shooter, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think that that's where I start getting a little worried, is when we talk about kind of the future extension. And maybe David, I'm probably like way overthinking this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Win a title, you don't have to say you're sorry.
Brainwashed. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm so brainwashed by the Heat organization that to me, I've like aligned my priorities with how they've operated over the last 25 years of Pat Riley's tenure. Like, I don't give a damn about the draft. You trade away whoever you have to for the short term. You don't know what's going to happen in 3 years or what superstar is going to want to force a trade then. Like, it's all about the now in the NBA, because things can change so quickly. Look at last year, and all of a sudden the window opening up with that nobody expected, really. And then, you know, the pandemic changes everything, and you have to force, you know, you have to reapply new principles to how you operate as a team, as a franchise, with a salary cap in question and so many other things that can fluctuate so quickly over the next year or two. So why bother projecting 5 years out as far as who we're going to draft in 2027 and say, you know what, I could get an MVP right now for the next couple of years and probably win a couple of championships. And that works out.
I agree.
Crazy, am I crazy?
I don't think Pat Riley is in it for 2027.
He's not.
No way.
Who knows if we're even alive as a species?
David, you brought up a great point.
Miami's even going to be a city anymore by 2027.
I mean, we're going to be underwater in 2027. Yeah. Let me tell you. I mean, the way I work in civil engineering, woof. We're doing some projects on Miami Beach.
The player that has gills, you know, he's probably going to be on Miami's radar in 2027.
I mean, technically, Harden would be a whale, right?
I'll be all over that.
You know, his upside is, you know, he can breathe underwater, and that's really big in this coming NBA draft. You know, the ability to breathe underwater.
But what's his wingspan?
Isn't that why Riley wants whales? Orcas.